Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
good afternoon, good evening, everyone. I guess we'll go ahead and open up with Tuesday night praise tabernacle, Tuesday night Bible study. I'm going to have, I guess, Evangelist Stanton, if you want to open us up.
Sure. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. We thank and praise God for you joining us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. And on behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his beautiful wife, Lady Pamela Zachary, we would like to say welcome. We're excited about the word on tonight that's going to be taught. We're excited that each and every one of you are with us. We ask that you please do get a pencil, paper, and your Bible so that you can follow along, so that you can take some notes, so that you can pray and ask God, where do you stand in the word and how to apply it to your life. We're excited for everybody on the panel tonight. I do believe we have Evangelist Bluette. We have Elder Bluette. I don't know of anyone else. I'm sorry if I'm missing somebody else. And then we have our teacher on tonight, which is our own Elder Oliver. So we're going to allow Elder Oliver time to get into the word. We just pray that each and every one of you just join along in the word with us and take notes, look at the Bible, and it's going to be a great opportunity for growth. It's going to be a great opportunity for growth. And with that, Elder Oliver, I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you, Evangelist Stanton. I appreciate it. For all of us on the panel, we want to thank you for all those that are listening. We just want to thank you for listening and seeing the Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. It is always a blessing to come to Bible study, whether teaching or just being a part of it, because it will allow you to grow spiritually, to be able to make it day by day. If you're going to Bible study, you know, it's for us to grow. And that's what Bible study is for me. It's a tool for me to grow in my walk with Christ on an everyday basis. Hearing the word of God, not just being a hearer of it, but also being a doer of it. Sometimes we just want to hear it. We don't ever want to do it. And I just want to thank the Lord for making me a doer and not just a hearer. So with that being said, it is a great blessing again to be able to do Bible study. It's just a blessing to be in the land of the living. I hope everyone is ready for Christmas and to spend time with your family. But let's not forget what Christmas is all about. You know, celebrate the birth of Christ. And, you know, and that's very important, is the birth. I'm not going to be speaking on that today, but it is very important that we celebrate this season about being, keeping it about what the birth of Jesus Christ, because he had to be born to die for us. So let's just keep that in mind. Also, again, I wanted to give honor to the Lord, who is the head of my life. And tonight's Bible study, I'm going to talk about going to a very familiar story. And there's a few things I want to look at. I'm not going to be long, but I'm going to try to be short, sweet, to the point, and try to get a few things out of the scriptures we're going to be reading here. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to open up with prayer again, and then I'm going to start with our verses. I'm going to have my beautiful wife come on and read the scriptures for me in a second, but I'm going to open this up with prayer before I go before the Lord, before I go before the Bible study. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you, Father God, one more time. Father God, give me the wisdom and the knowledge to rightly divine your word, to give your word the way you would have me give it, Father God. Father God, I ask you hide me behind the cross where I'm not seeing what your word is, Father God. Father, I give the ears the ear to hear your word, Father God. Father God, I ask you to bless all those that are listening, Father God, all those that are participating, Father God, and Father God, that we may be able to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. If I would use a topic for tonight, is who are you bowing to? That's going to be my topic. Who are you bowing to? And if you have your Bible, I want to go to Daniel, the third chapter of Daniel. And I'm going to have my wife read for us tonight verses 10 and stop at 28. Just go 10 to 28, and then I'm going to take it from there.
All right, so this is going to be Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 10 and ending at 28. Verse 10 reads, "You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." And my Bible goes on to say the blazing furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, Your Majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." And that's through verse 28.
Thank you. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
We read here, and most of us are very familiar with that scripture of being in the fiery furnace. And I just want to talk about it for a little bit, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they were brought to Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar put them in position. They were in position in government. They had high positions in the government. And Nebuchadnezzar was so full of himself, he built this big statue. And if you read the book in Daniel and you read it, it tells you it was 90 feet tall. It was this huge statue they built, beautiful statue. And the rule was every time the music was played, you would bow down and worship that statue. And what I want to do tonight for Bible study is talk about who are you bowing down to. Now, a lot of times we, as Christians, as believers, or just general people, we follow the laws of the land, and the Bible tells us we need to follow the laws of the land. But sometimes we follow our own law. And when we follow our own law, when we hear the music to our law, we bow down and we worship it. And our own law could be whatever you want it to be. Whatever it is, we bow down and we worship whatever it is we want to worship. A lot of people in church, you think they're bowing down to the Lord, but they're really not. They're bowing down to tradition. People who say they're believers are praying, but they're not praying to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're just praying, just to be praying, to get what they want. These boys within in Babylon was in a place where they had to make a decision who they're going to listen to. They had to make a decision who they were going to serve. And like us today, there's no different back then than it is going on today, because today the world tells us what we should bow down to. The world tells us who we should love, how we should love. The world tells us all these conditions. And if you don't do certain things that the world tells us to do, they don't necessarily throw you in a fiery furnace, but they put the heat on you. They make you feel bad. They make you feel like you're not who you say you are because you don't bow down. And it's just very important, and it's the Lord's been putting and showing me that a lot of times that when we do bow, we need to bow for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not bow down to what the world tells us we need to bow down to. And a lot of times we make the mistakes of bowing down to religion, family, friends. We bow down to the wrong thing. And when we do that, we're not in line with the Lord. And I'm just going to say it. A lot of things that we do, and I'm starting to see things a little differently than before, because we can be saved. We could be believers, but we have our own laws. Is it like you go to a church, and if you don't do this and if you don't do that, then they say you're not saved. Back in my day, if women wore pants, you weren't saved. If you wore makeup, you weren't saved. That, and that was part of the thing. Today's standard is if you don't, they use this word, love everything, you know, even though it may be a sin, and even though God may not recognize it, if you don't love it, if you don't support it, if you talk out against it, then they're going to call you, they're going to be mad, they're going to throw you into a furnace, they're going to say that you're this and you're that and you're not who you're supposed to be. But I'm just a firm believer that, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. And if you're for right, some people are not going to always like you. People are not going to always be there with you. And they're going to try to put you in a fiery furnace, even in the church. Even in the church, all churches. There's no perfect church, but all churches. If you don't bow down to their ways, if you don't bow down to their conditions, someone is going to get upset. If you don't listen to your family over here, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, they're going to point their finger at you and throw you into a fiery furnace. So that's why I asked the question. My topic tonight is, who are you going to bow down to? There's a few things in here that I want to look at. Verse 17. And verse 17 is one of my favorite parts of this whole story. And verse 17, it says that, and I'm going to read it. It says, these are the three Hebrew boys. They're answering to the king. The king had already had the music played, and the king, the governor went to the king and told them that the Hebrew boys did not bow down. And another little note that I found out reading this today that I didn't know before, but all of the people in the government that was around the king, they didn't like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because the king, Nebuchadnezzar, really liked these three boys. He really liked them. That's why he gave them a position in the government. Even though they were believers, he liked them so much that he gave them a position in the government and a high position. So they were very high men in Babylon. They were, you know, very high up there. They were up there. And what happened was, the other governors that didn't like them knew that they were not going to bow down even before the music was played because of who they were. And when they didn't, they went to tell the king that they didn't bow. And the king orchestrated a meeting for the Hebrew boys to come, and this is where we're at in verse 17. And in verse 17, the Hebrew boy answered the question. And the question is one of the things that every believer should have in their spirit. And it says that if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It's saying that no matter what, if he deliver us, we're not going to do it. And if he don't, we're not going to do it. And that, you know, people overlook this verse right here, because a lot of times we as Christians, we got to have this thing that if God is going to deliver us, even if he don't, he's still able. And we got to have that mentality, because sometimes God's will is going to be that, okay, if his will be done, it's not going to hurt, it's not going to be painful, it's always going to be a good time. That's not always true. Sometimes God will allow things to happen to show how strong you really are and to build character between you and him. Sometimes things happen that's not always good, and we say, well, the Lord's will is being done. It's being done for a reason. Everything, you're not going to get everything that you want. But even if you do it, it's fine. If you don't do it, it's fine. We're still going to serve God. And my question is, even though we're in a pandemic, it's the holiday time, families are getting together, doing all types of things that a lot of people think that it's okay, whether it's drinking, cursing, partying, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, this time of year, it's okay to do it. No, it's not. You have to serve God. And when you're serving God, because they said in the God whom we serve. See, if you're not serving God, all this is irrelevant to you right now. If you're not serving God, all this doesn't mean a hill of beans, because it doesn't even matter. But if you're serving God and things do not go your way, because these are the Hebrew boys, it wasn't going their way. They said that they were not going to bow down, and because they were not going to bow down, there was consequences that was going to cause them harm. And we as believers, I'm going to speak for myself, don't want to have to deal with harm. We don't want to have to deal with hurt. We don't have to deal with any of these things. But we're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to do, as Christ suffered, we're supposed to suffer as well. So if you're serving God, there's going to be some moments. There's going to be some tense times in your life where you're going to have to go against what everyone else is doing, what everybody else believes, and you're going to have to go against it in order to serve God. I don't know if you've been there before, but sometimes you're going to have to make a decision that's not going to be popular with everybody else. And when you make that decision, you're going to have to get thrown into a fiery furnace. It may not be a hot pit like they went into, but it must be maybe the accusations of, oh, you're a hypocrite, or, oh, you're this, or, oh, you're that. You're going to have some obstacles when you serve God. Before I keep talking, anyone got anything they want to say?
The heat is on. I just want to go back to 14.
I can't hear you, Ricky. Here, get on my phone.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say the heat is on. Be careful who you get your information from. Okay? We have to be careful where we get our information from. Only because these were haters. Okay? When King Nebuchadnezzar got his information from, they was hating on these boys. Okay? Because of their God. And because which is what they stood for. Okay? So we have to be careful who we get our information from, who's carrying the information that that God has given us. If God gave them something or give you something, stand on what God said. Because in 14, Nebuchadnezzar asked him, is this true? He went to the boys and asked him, is this true what I hear, that you won't bow down to my God? Okay? Which I have set up with eyes, eyes. Okay? He was caught up in himself. We have to be careful. The heat is on. But guess what? God is going to deliver us from out of them all, but we have to stand on his truth and his promises, not what God said and all these false and the images that's put before us, these fake and false images. We have to be careful, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. Yeah, we got to be careful where the information comes, because people will hate on you and tell, and they'll tell in a way where, and when I say this, I'm going somewhere with this. We know that the devil comes, steal, kill, and destroy, and people in the world are evil and they do this type. We know there's haters in the world, but there's haters in the church too. And I'm glad she brought that out. Be careful, because people in the church, what if you don't do what the church rules say do, and they go back and tell everyone, then next thing you know, you ain't living right. And next thing you doing this, and you're doing that. And it creates because you're trying to live and serve God. And when you're trying to live and serve God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I got to make sure I say that. And because everybody else isn't, all they're doing is serving a man-made church. And there's a big difference between a man-made church and serving your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's two different. And if you go to church and you go to church serving your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ compared to going to church serving the church, it's a difference. Praise and worship is different. Service is different. You get something different out of it than everybody else gets. Because most people be like, oh, well, you ain't doing this and you ain't doing that because they don't see you. And because they don't see you, they assume certain things. And see, assumption should not be in part of the body of Christ. If you're serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's going to elevate you when he wants to be elevated. And he's going to take you out of things when he wants to take you out of things. And it's not for everybody to see. So it's very important when we're serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we understand every decision we make is not going to be popular. Every decision we make, everyone's not going to like us because they're not serving the way we're supposed to be serving, if that makes sense. So thank you, Vance. I'm glad you brought that up. Does anyone else have anything to say before I move on?
Go ahead, Vance.
Thank you, sir. I was going to say that's the difference between religion and relationship. Religion and relationship. We're supposed to have a relationship with Christ, not just a religious attitude. And like you were saying, not just doing things just because that's how we were taught to do it or by tradition. So it's by tradition, I go to church on Sunday. But what do you do Monday through Saturday? So it's a huge difference. Just having religion, you know, telling people, yes, you know, I'm a Christian, but there's no fruit. There's no evidence. There's no relationship with God because you don't want to take the time to do the things to have that relationship. Because if you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed and you know, they studied. And they did not want to conform to what the people around them were doing. And a lot of times, the church, especially now, it almost looks like the world. Because you got church members that are walking in fear. You have church members that are not walking by faith. You have church members that are walking in confusion when they're supposed to be walking in peace because they don't want to do the things in the relationship to build that relationship with God so that they can walk not how the world is walking. So it's a difference between religion and relationship. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Elder Bluette.
Yes, just on the subject of present church now, I understand what you're talking about on the church, how it began, Elder Oliver, and how the Hebrew boys were brought in under our leadership. They, you know, so I'll try to be real brief. I wasn't raised in the church. I wasn't brought up in the church. I accepted God in my life and became but want me to be, and I'm still learning today, the principles I bring to a church, or I bring to my family, or I bring to the table. If I, or if they brought what they brought to the table, and they wasn't going to change. I'm the same way. I'm not going to change. So being invited or being asked part of something, somebody, what you was getting asked. I haven't changed. A lot of people don't change. As we go on in time and things are supposedly better for that leader, we tend to forget what's on the table. It shouldn't be everybody think the same and act the same or say the same things. It should be different angles for one purpose, to honor God. So I'm amazed how today we are so far from principles, far we are away from what made your table right. I'm amazed. So the Hebrew boys brought who they are. They believe in what they know. And they believe that God is going to sustain them. Right? We know of God. Today's church wouldn't be as fast as it is, if that make any sense. It wouldn't be as non-loving as it is, but respect of what each person brings to the table to create a body. And I know I'm a little bit off about what you're talking about.
Oh, you're good.
Just, you know, so we got to be careful how we treat people when we don't need them no more. That's where Nebuchadnezzar is now. He don't need them no more now. But he was real happy about what they brought to the table. See? So we got to be careful of people we invite, people we ask to do something, and how they do it, knowing who they are and what they bring to the table. Amen.
I like that. I like that. When you were talking, Elder, you brought something to my attention, because Hebrew, when they came, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, like you said, he loved them so much that he elevated them. And what happens a lot of times, we as believers, we in the church, we go to church, we feel that love when we first get there, we feel love. And as soon as you don't do what the other people want you to do, you have no use for them.
Come on.
Because they're not going to bow down to what you want them to do.
Yes, sir.
And that's very important. This is why it's very important that we look at this, is because there's certain things in there we got to understand that it's in the world. We know it's in the world, but it's also in the church. I could be good with everybody, but soon as someone, Elder Brulette, I hope you don't mind when you use an example tonight, soon as Elder Brulette don't do what I want him to do, I'm done with him. That's not love at all. That's not being in God's perfect will at all. We could disagree, but we all know that listening on this Bible study tonight know is that someone don't do what you want them to do, and if they don't bow down to your ways, we want to throw them in the fiery furnace. And not only do we want to throw them in the fiery furnace, we want to humiliate them because they didn't do what we said do. And it's like that in the church, just with, and I'm just going to use this, I don't want to get all off into the subject, it's just when people speak in tongues. People, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. In certain places, that's real in a lot of places. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, it's real. And not just in the church, but just as individuals. That's why I said, who are you going to bow down to? Now, if you're bowing down to the Lord and you're serving the Lord, when you do bow down, people are going to be upset. They're going to be through with you. They're not going to even like you. And I hate to say it, that's even evident in the church. We know it's in the world, but it's even evident, and it's even more probably so in the church than it is anywhere else. And what I wanted to see is we have to understand that if we're serving the Lord, if we're serving God the way we're supposed to be serving God, and when the Hebrew boy answered the king and told him that God is able to deliver us, we got to understand that God is able to deliver us no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through. God is able, and it's very important that you surround yourself with people that knowing that God is able to deliver you. Even if he don't, he's still able to deliver you. And the reason I say it's very important, I'm just going to use my imagination right here for a minute. I can imagine out of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of them, when they got into the fiery furnace, said it's hot. That's why it's important with you to have somebody with you to touch you to say, if he don't deliver us, he's still able. See, they were working together. They were together in this. And a lot of times when you're doing this, we do get frustrated. We do get hot. We do get into our feel. That's why you need someone with you to touch you and say, if not, he's still able. And if you don't have no one, that's okay because God is still able. I ain't saying you need one, but it's important to have someone with you that when you're in a hot situation and you quick to give up, that someone can just touch you and tell you that he's able. Because when people get through with you, they're going to throw you away. They're not going to be sitting down there trying to encourage you to go through it. They're going to want you to retaliate. But when the Hebrew boys was in that fiery furnace, they knew they had each other, and they knew that they were serving God, and they knew that God would bring them out. My question is tonight, do you know that God is able to bring you out? Do you really believe that, or is this just words you're going to say? Because if you believe that God is going to bring you out, no matter what the circumstances is, it's going to be okay. Even though it don't look okay, it's going to be okay. Because God that you serve is able to bring you out. And that's one thing I want to hit over the head over and over again tonight. The God whom you serve, if you serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you're serving him, he's able to bring you out. And when the Hebrew boy, and we all know the story, when they got into the fiery furnace and they got in there, I'm not going to talk about who showed up with them, but when they came out, they didn't even smell like the smoke. They had no resemblance of even being in a fire. They didn't have to do CPR. They didn't have to drop and roll. They were in there walking around in the fiery furnace where there's fire, there's smoke. And you know what they do when you have a fire drill? You're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. They didn't. The scripture said they didn't even drop and roll. When there's a curve, when you look, they saw four men walking around. They weren't even on the bottom trying to. They were walking around serving the Lord in the fiery furnace. So my main theme tonight is out of verse 17 and 18. He's able to bring you out of the fiery furnace. And when he's able to bring you out of the fiery furnace, you have no resemblance of being in the fire with no smoke, no burns, no nothing, because God is able if you learn how to serve God. Well, how do you serve God? Well, how do you serve God? Well, you serve God. It's a personal relationship. It's something you have to do daily. You have to read his word. You have to pray to him. You have to fast. You have to be in his word daily. And if you're not in his word daily, you have no relationship. I'm just going, you have no relationship with him. The Lord should know you, and you should know the Lord the way the Lord knows you. And these Hebrew boys, they need the Lord. And again, you need to be able to surround yourself with people who is serving the same Lord, going the same direction that you're going in. We need to understand that God is able. Anyone have anything else to say before I move on? All right. Verse 25. It says, this is Daniel 3:25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of this fourth is like the Son of God. A lot of times when we're going through situations, we always want to see everything but what we ought to see. And what I'm saying is sometimes people be going through things and we say, oh, they're really going through it. They're really going through it. But what we ought to see is God with them as they go through it. Are they going to continue to praise God as they go through situations? Are you still going to praise God when your kids are doing what they ain't supposed to be doing? Are you still going to praise God when you don't have no money? Are you still going to praise God? And people ought to be able to look, not out of, I'd be able to look and be like, they're praising God. No matter what they go through, they're going to always praise God. So a lot of times people are praising God so much you don't even know what they're going through. Unless they tell you, you don't know what's going on. Again, that's because if you're serving the Lord, he will protect you when you're in the fiery furnace where you don't look like what you've been through. I didn't realize that that was just a cliche people would say, but a lot of times if you're serving the Lord and if you know God is able, a lot of times people don't look like what they've been through because the Lord will keep them looking the way that they look because he's with them and he's going to protect you and he's going to get right in the fiery furnace with you. A lot of people need to understand that. God will show up in your fiery furnace as long as you're serving him. You can't be serving two masters and expect the Lord to show up because you're tired of your master over here. Now you want to serve the Lord. Like a lot of believers going to do during this holiday season. They're going to be drinking spirits and smoking and doing all this other stuff. And then come January and February when they're in debt, they're going to want to serve another master and expect God to be right there for you. It don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You have to serve God and only God. And you have to have a relationship with him because he is a jealous God. And you can't be messing around serving two different gods and expect God to show up when you want him to show up, when you get in the fiery furnace. You won't be able to walk around in your fiery furnace. You got to drop all the way to the ground so you can get all the oxygen you can get so you can survive. And a lot of believers are surviving instead of walking around. And I know I just said a whole lot, so I'm going to break that down for you. A lot of believers are dropping, they're doing the stop, drop, and roll. And if you read what the Hebrew boys were doing, they were walking in the smoke. They were walking around in the fire because it had no physical ability to hurt or harm them. But if you have to stop, drop, and roll, in my opinion, and I'm just talking now, is because you want to play both sides of the fence. One minute you want to be saved, the next minute you want to be the world. When it's convenient for you to be saved, you want to be saved. When it's convenient for you to want to be in the world, you want to be in the world. And I know a lot of people like that. I was almost slipping my way into that. But see, the Lord won't allow me to because he convicts me of when I'm trying to get wrong or do wrong. He convicts me, that's not right. Don't do that. That's not right. And a lot of times, that's why you got to surround yourself with people. Now, it's important because you need somebody to be able to hold you accountable when you're in the fire. You know, God is able to get us through this. Come on. I know it hurt. I know you're going through this. God is able. And you can be able to stand up and walk with your head up high because God is with you. And God is always going to be there with you. And once you know that God is with you, you know that he's able. Once you know that he's able, you have the victory. Not only do you have the victory, that you'll be able to overcome all things because, you know, the Lord has your back. Does anybody have anything they want to say before I keep on moving on? I feel like I'm talking a lot.
Yeah,
this is just, very good, Elder.
Go ahead. No, anybody says.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that, Elder. Sorry. No, this is great tonight, Elder Oliver. I just saw something in verse 22 I've read this scriptures a lot, but I was listening and thinking about what you were saying about, you know, God being with you in the fire and then bring you out of it. I just saw something in verse 2 that I really haven't seen, 22, that I had not seen before. It says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So that tells me the fire was so hot that when they even got to the furnace, they should have started burning up like the men. So God was even with them before they ever got into the furnace. See, the men who took them up got slewed by the fire because the flame was so hot. That's very encouraging to me, because as you were saying, when you have that relationship, when you doing the things of God, even before I get to my trial, God is with me. Even in the midst of my trial, God is right there with me. And as I come out of my trial, he's there with me. So he's not only with me in the situation, it reminds me he's with me before the situation.
Ooh.
It says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took them up. Why didn't it slew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they even ever got into it, just like it did those men? Because God is with us.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, me too. So let's go up one more verse to 21. And I think somebody taught this. I may have taught it years ago. I'm not sure. But verse 21, I got stuck on verse 21, Evangelist, where it said, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So before you even go into a trial, before you even go into a situation, sometimes God would have your enemy prepare you for what's coming. See?
Wow.
So they were already
wow.
in all closing their coats, their hat, everything, so that when they got to the mouth of the furnace, it did not harm them like it did the men that threw them down in verse 22. They were protected
right.
before God even got on the scene, before the fourth person was even seen by Nebuchadnezzar. They were protected going in. And that culminates with 21 and 22. Those verses go together and how they were protected.
Mm-hmm.
And on another note, let's use Nebuchadnezzar as a pastor today, right? To where he saw some good. He saw how it would help him in his ministry. He saw, again, what was brought to the table. And then when somebody came to him about what he invited to the table, who he asked to serve with him, when somebody came to him with some he say, she say, he took it. What they said and use it against the person he even invited or the person he would have to serve with him. You understand where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful. I have always been a person that if you come to me with some junk, I'm going to call that person you're talking about. And we might be on three-way and you not even know it. I'm not the type of person that would tell somebody that they're talking about or think of them a different way because somebody else says something different about them. I know for myself what they stand on. And how could this be true? I would bring that to you, Elder Oliver, if somebody says something about you. And it might be on three-way with the person that said it. That's just me. I'm not worried about losing friendship that I thought I had. I do worry about losing friendship I know I got. And it's a difference in how we carry ourselves. So we're protected going in regardless of who invited us, a pastor or a friend or whoever. We're protected going in as it was in verse 21. We're protected going in to the furnace. And our captors are our enemy because they had rage in their heart, the wrong decision every time. Amen.
Amen. Elder, that was a lot you said right there. That kind of put the icing on the cake. It's very, like I said, and like you said, I don't want to go over what y'all are saying, but it's so encouraging and so uplifting to know that no matter what we're getting ready to go into, no matter what we're getting ready to face, the Lord has already prepared us to go through it. If we believe,
yes,
and if we know that he's able, and that's the point. If we know that he's able, even before we go through it, he's already prepared it for us. He's already made a way for us not to smell like smoke, not to smell like fire. And for anyone that means us any harm, there's a scripture, I forget where it is, it says, touch not through my servant no harm. I think I'm saying that right. A lot of times, people will try to take us to the furnace, and a lot of times, they will be the ones, just like it is in this scripture, that gets burnt. They'll be the ones that get killed. They'll be the ones,
yes,
whatever they tried to mean harm for us, it will happen to them, because they're trying to lead us in a place that they know that we don't even want to go. But as long as we're serving God, and as long as we're doing what God would have us to do, and long as we know that he is able, and that's the key, knowing that he's able, and if he don't do it, he's still able. That's powerful to me right there. And as you said, Elder Blewett, he's preparing it for us even before we even get there. And then when we do get there, we will meet him there. But the only way you're going to meet him there is if you know him. And a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this, is I went through a lot of fiery furnaces, and I was walking around with Jesus and didn't even know that he was there with me.
Come on now.
Didn't even know he was there with me. And there's been a lot,
yes,
of,
sir,
incidents in my life going through fiery furnaces, walking around thinking I'm getting through this, not even knowing that the Lord has already, but he's right there with me. And what I did was I added extra stress, extra worry, and all I had to do was just walk around with the Lord. And when you walk with the Lord, it's a different walk, it's a different talk, it's if you know him. If you don't know him, it's like being in somewhere with a stranger. You know, at work we do these things, when new people come in, they sit you in a room and it's all quiet because no one knows each other. You don't know their name, they don't know your name. It's the same way with Christ when you're going through obstacles, when you're going through situations. When you get in there, do you know him? Because if you know him, you can walk upright. If you know him, you can talk right. If you know him, you can have that ability to know that he's able to get you out. And if you don't, he's still able because you're still walking and talking. See, that just makes me excited right there. I don't know about you. This makes me excited knowing that there's been a lot of fiery furnaces I went in. And I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know the Lord. But he was still there with me, walking with me, talking with me. But now that I know him, it's a different attitude now when I go into a fiery furnace. So when I go in there, people are going to say, you sound like you're arrogant. People say, you sound like you're... No, when you're walking with the Lord, how are you supposed to sound? The look, how are you supposed... Well, if I'm with the Lord, I am... I don't know how we're supposed to act, but when we're with the Lord and we feel the presence on him, it's something on the inside. You can't hold that. You can't control that. You just, however the Lord leads you to lead, you just have that in you. It just makes you want to holler. It makes some people jump, some people scream, some people run. However it affects you, but you know that you're in his presence. And when you're in his presence, you know that he's able to bring you out of all things, long as you know that he's able and that you're serving him. That's really all I got tonight, fellas. That's really all that I have tonight. Again, I'm on a new work, not making excuses, but I'm on a new work schedule. I'm doing these midnights, and it's a blessing to have a job. It's a blessing, but I also love being here on Tuesday night. Don't make no mistake. I love it. I got to get ready to run to work now. I just love being around the Word of God and people on the panel, the Bluettes and Evangelist Stan. It's encouraging to me because Evangelist Stan, well, all of y'all gave me something tonight to look at, something totally different than what I was trying to bring, and it's just a blessing. So now I'm going to have to go back and research this over again and be ready to preach on something a little different that I got. But it's just a blessing. It's a blessing to be around people of God who know the Word of God and know how to, on a drop of a dime, talk about the Word of God. No matter where we at, what we're doing, it's just, boom, it's there. It's a blessing. I wish everyone could experience what I experienced on Tuesday night. I'm going to say this, and I'm done. I'm going to turn it back over to Evangelist Stan. I believe Elder Taylor is on the line. I don't know if he's able to speak or not, but I do receive the text that he's on the line. So with that being said, it is a blessing for me. This is what gets me through the week. This is what gets me through a lot of times, is being a part of a Bible study. That's why I tell everyone on every other show that I do, be there for Bible study. Because you will learn, and he will take you to another level. He will take you to another level. And with that being said, I just want to know, who are you bowing down to? Are you bowing down to your Lord and Savior, or are you bowing down to the world? During this Christmas season, who are you going to bow down to? Are you going to be bowing down to the Lord, thanking him for what he did on Calvary's cross, or are you going to be bowing down to what the world said you ought to be doing? Gifts exchanging gifts. And there's nothing wrong with exchanging gifts, but if you ain't giving them the gift of life, then that's where we ought to be at right now as believers. Ain't nothing wrong with exchanging gifts and going on with it, but don't let it make you bow down to where you forget whose you are. And we need to understand that when we do go to these fiery furnaces, the Lord is going to be right there with us. Do you know him? Will you recognize him in your fiery furnace? I ain't saying that you're not a believer, but I'm just saying, do you know him, and can you recognize him in your fiery furnace? And that's a deep question. Can you recognize him in your fiery furnace, or you don't even know who he is? That's all I got. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Evangelist Stan.
Thank you, Elder Oliver. Thank you for that reflection on tonight, that reminder. Who are we going to bow down to? I'm not sure if Elder Taylor is on the phone, but Elder Taylor, did you want to have anything to say? No, if not, just a reminder, he came from Daniel chapter 3. He dealt with verses 10 through 28. But read all of chapter 3 in Daniel chapter 3. Read the whole chapter. It's a really good chapter. It gives you that background that he was talking about. But he dealt with Daniel chapter 3, verses 10 through 28. But just a reminder, read all of chapter 3. It's a great chapter. We just thank each and every one of you for joining us on tonight. Just a reminder, we do have an email. If you would like to give a testimony or if you have prayer requests, or if you would like for us to deal with a topic on our Tuesday night Bible study, you can email us at ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, forchrist@gmail.com. You can definitely email us. Your email will remain anonymous. There is no topic that we cannot tackle. So don't feel shamed or embarrassed. This is real life. This is real life. Before I get ready to pray and read our scripture that we'd like to end on, I do believe that Elder Blewett has something he would like to say. Go ahead, Elder Blewett.
Thank you, Van Staten. Amen, amen. So God just gave me some in Job chapter 23. And we know what Job went through. Job chapter 23, starting at verse 8, where it says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot have held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now keep that in mind.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. Let's also write down that scripture, Job 23, verse 8, 12. Write that down as well and study that. Thank you, Elder Blewett, for those scriptures. We can include that in our study. Thank you so much, sir. Just a reminder to everyone, Elder Oliver was talking about it is the holiday season, and what choices are you going to make this holiday season, especially when you get around your family? Will you still serve Christ, or will you begin to look like the world? Will you take a drink because everybody's drinking, or will you take a smoke? Will you hit the blunt because your family members are there? You know, are you standing for Christ? It's a reminder this holiday season is to give God glory and thanks for the birth of his son. And, of course, we thank and praise God it didn't stop just at the birth, but the birth had to happen. And we thank and praise God for that. So who are you going to bow down to? Who is your God? Who do you serve? Who do you worship? Who do you give your glory and your time to? Who have you made, or what is your God? You know, are you serving gods like Nebuchadnezzar wanted the people to do, or are you serving our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God? So just a reminder, as the holiday season come up, to think about and reflect on your relationship with Christ. And if you have not made or decided to make Christ your Savior, we offer you Christ. It's a very simple prayer. It's your prayer. You could say, "Father, I believe that Jesus, your Son, died on the cross for my sins, and that he rose and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. I receive and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior into my life. Come in and drive out all the darkness and replace it with your holy light." It doesn't have to be anything formal, just something from your heart. And if you prayed that prayer, or if you prayed a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get into a Bible studying church. Get into a ministry. Find somebody to help sit down with you and study the Word of God. And with that being said, our own Elder Blewett has even offered, if you need a Bible, you can email us and we'll get a Bible to you. He'll get a Bible to you. He'll get a study Bible for you. So if you've accepted Jesus and you want to know what this relationship is all about, getting into the Word of God is a start. And if you need a Bible, email us at ptc4christ@gmail.com and I will pass your information on to Elder Bluette, and he'll get a study Bible to you. We are so excited for each and every person on this Bible study tonight. We thank Elder Oliver for a great lesson, a reminder to get into the Word of God and to see really what kind of relationship you have with Christ, a self-examination. And with that, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read our scripture out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word on tonight. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for each and every listener. Father, that we won't just be hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the word, that we would do what you called us to do, that we would have praise, that we would have worship, that we would read and study the word of God, that we would fellowship with like-minded believers, that we will stand upon your promises. Father God, we just pray for each and every person on tonight. I know sometimes the holidays can be difficult because people have lost loved ones, and this may be their first time without them during the holiday. But I pray, Father God, that you would bring a peace that surpasseth all understanding. I pray that you would bring your comfort through the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father God, that you would just guide and strengthen them each and every day. I pray, Father God, that we would make the right choices, who we're going to bow down to, that we would make that choice to make you our Lord and our Savior. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world." Have a blessed and wonderful week. Have a blessed and wonderful Christmas. And I will implore you to choose God. In Jesus' name, amen and good night.